There's Thanksgiving week with ample reason to show gratitude, a cornucopia of well-earned success that includes another 10-win season. And while the Cougars enjoyed another victory meal in Cincy, they now have visions of a grand feast ahead, one with a Big 12 title and a college football playoff spot. The mantra to achieve that dream remains the same: stay humble, stay hungry. For a senior day showdown with UCF, we'll get you ready for it on this Satake Show season finale. Let's go!
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics.
Live from Studio C at BYU Broadcasting in Provo, Utah. This is BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. I am Spencer Linton, sitting in for Greg Wrubell tonight. Wherever and however you're connected, great to have you with us. Coming up on tonight's loaded season finale, we'll recap last Saturday's Cincinnati showdown. We go deep blue on the 60th anniversary of the Eddie Airline tragedy. We'll bring on several BYU seniors as they approach their final game of the regular season and of their careers at BYU. We play some fun and games with the upperclassmen and preview the early morning matchup with UCF. Like I said, a loaded show. With the BYU victory last Saturday, this man has notched his 82nd win all-time at BYU. 10 wins in 2025, 21-3. Over the last two seasons. Please join me and welcome into Studio C the head coach of your BYU Cougars, Kalani Sitake.
Thank you.
The man has arrived.
Oh, stop.
Have a seat, brother.
Sit down, guys. Thank you.
Another warm welcome for you and well-deserved,
Coach. Love you guys. Thank you. That was awesome.
Coach, you had a unique opportunity in this past weekend to go to Cincinnati and visit your old NFL stomping grounds.
Yeah.
The Cincinnati Bengals. Who knew? Cincinnati was the home of Kalani Sitake for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, not long enough, but it was it was fun. It was good to see Rico. Rico was there, and so – And I know they're playing Kyrus with the New England Patriots, and so those guys are hitting me up. And Blake Freeland was able to make it, so it's good to see former players there, and good to see all the fans that made the trip too. It was a lot of fun.
How do you feel about Skyline Chili in Cincinnati, Coach?
I like. There's not a lot of food that I don't like, so yeah, I'm good with all of it.
What feeling did you get from Ryan Rico, who's punting and punting well for the Cincinnati Bengals right now?
No, it was great. We had our walkthrough in the in their bubble, you know, and we gave him some time to speak to the team, and I mean, it just seems like yesterday that he was here playing, and so just really proud of what he's able to do and how he's representing in the NFL, and he's doing a great job kicking, so he's having a great year, you know, and I mean, you never really want to be a busy punter in the NFL team, but I think he can handle all of it.
Making the most of it, no doubt about it. On the BYU front, I know that you, of all people, do not take for granted a 10-win season and how difficult that is to achieve. You get to 10 wins again with a hard-fought victory over Cincinnati. So what made that victory unique and special this season?
Oh, just being with the boys and seeing them, you know, just the way that they've been able to respond. From the adversity, the loss, you know, that we had earlier in the year, a few weeks ago, and I've just been really pleased with them, just with the leadership on the team, and we have amazing senior leadership on this team, and they make me look good, so I just let them take control, man. It's pretty easy for me just to rely on all those guys to handle the team, and it's just been a pleasure for me to coach all these young men.
Nice segue into my next point, because the cut, which is now gaining fame, the BYU football recap of all of the wins just dropped today. And in it, you say during halftime, quote, "Hey, it's there, go take it," talking about the game. And that certainly applies to what's ahead with UCF. So what were your emotions like in that moment as you're making that address to your team?
Well, I also said that the science is there and don't you believe in science. But the cut, they cut it out. I mean, it was like my reference to Nacho Libre. You know, I was trying to loosen up the team a little bit, you know, and I don't know, I guess they're trying to make me seem really serious right now, and I just want the guys to remember that this is a game, have fun, and to enjoy each other, you know, that we always want to perform as best as we can, but I think they're going to play their best when they realize that they should be thankful that just in the environment that they get to experience and with their brothers, you know. So, yeah, at that moment, I just like it's we can go get this done, and we haven't played our best ball yet, but you know we felt like we were in control. We felt really good. I was really happy with how physical they were playing, and when you can play physical and you can believe in each other, a lot of things can happen for you.
Well, in the spirit of Nacho Libre, if you want to break out in a version of Encarnacion at some point, I guarantee won't cut that out of the next version of the cut.
I won't be doing that, but like, yeah, that's the editing room. I can't believe they cut that part out. I was like, but I mean, I was trying to crack a joke just to loosen things up a little bit for the guys. I think they're getting a little bit too tight, just got to relax and let's go have some fun and play the game.
In line of thinking about what's there to take, what kind of opportunity do you sense for your team this Saturday against UCF and a potential trip to the Big 12 championship game?
Well, I think it's just keep it as simple as possible, which is we love our seniors, and we try to play and do whatever we can to buy more time together. And when you win 6 games, you're guaranteed one more game together. And now we have an opportunity to play more games together, and so let's take care of business, and then let's give the seniors what they deserve, which is a win in Lavelle Edwards Stadium, and make them go out the right way, you know. So I think a lot of that is also handling the emotions, all that stuff goes into it. The guys will do a great job handling it. I mean, the upperclassmen are amazing, the seniors are great, but I want our underclassmen, the ones that aren't there yet with their last year, you know, their last game in Lavelle. To realize how important it is, and it's important for them to give everything they got.
We'll hear from a nice group of those seniors on tonight's show. Looking forward to that. But before we push forward to those interviews and more from UCF, let's have a gander at the highlights from BYU's most recent 26-14 physical hard-fought win over the Bearcats, presented by Waystar. All right. This will come as a surprise to nobody, Coach, but your player of the game, LJ Martin, 222 yards on the ground. What can you say about LJ that hasn't already been said at this point?
No, I mean, LJ's a beast. We've been saying that for a long time, and I just I'm glad that everybody was able to just let him do his thing. And I mean, it was a tough physical day for him. A lot of hits, but he was feeling fine. I mean, the guy is a truck, so he's. You know, I was with him at the end. We were heading back to the airport after we did our interviews and everything, and I was just asking him how he was feeling, and he was feeling great. And so it looked like he could probably, I mean, he even said it. He's like, I didn't even feel like I had 30 carries. And I got tired watching him get 30 carries. So I was just like, yeah. Next time, let's go for 40, see what happens. But 32 carries, I'm really happy that everybody was able to do their job and do their 111th and allow him to just do what he does best, and that's carry the ball.
Lost in that a little bit, he was also your receiving yards leader on the night with 44 receiving yards. So he had essentially two-thirds of BYU's total offense. How do you see him evolving in the pass game out of the backfield?
Yeah, he's always been able to catch the ball. And I think going into this game, you know, we were going to do whatever it takes to win the game. I don't think A-Rod and the offensive staff expected to run the ball as much as we did. But when we felt like it was, you know, we were hot with it, and we might as well just stick with it. And I know they could have done a lot of things. We have a team that a bunch of guys that aren't worried about their egos or their stats, and so you can see guys like Parker Kingston and JoJo and Reggie and Tiger and all those guys blocking downfield. Carson, those guys aren't worried about who gets the touchdowns and who gets the catches. They just want to play and help the team succeed. And man, I'm lucky to get to coach young men that are humble like that.
You bring up your offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. One of his love languages is ball security. He points that out often. Another clean game for your quarterback, Bear Bachmeyer. Not as big a numbers in the pass game, but still doing his thing as a true freshman. In fact, Kalani, he's the fifth freshman in the last 25 years, true freshman, to lead a college football team to a 10-win season. That is remarkable, joining the likes of Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, Aaron Murray, and Jeff Godfrey of UCF. It just doesn't happen often. What impressed you most about Bear's performance in this physical game against Cincinnati?
Well, just his overall presence, you know, understanding the offense. We put him in a position where he had to make a lot of checks. And even at the end when we were trying to milk the clock, he just he just looked like he's been a veteran and been doing it for a long time. And so it's nice that he's, you know, prepared himself mentally and physically for this. And, you know, we can count on him to do whatever it takes. And he was happy handing the ball off, too. So, you know, I know he got some runs in there, too. But Bear is going to do whatever it takes to help the team win.
Your defensive coordinator, Jay Hill, has joked a few times in recent weeks that he'll just call the interception play and then it will happen. Well, he called the interception play again with Tanner Wall, and it was a momentum moment where early in the second half, Tanner intercepts a pass. You get Brendan Sorsby, Cincinnati's quarterback, to make a rushed bad decision, and then you go and you turn that into points. So what was the key there, Kalani, to taking that momentum and really driving home some points?
Well, I think you said the key was just the pressure. You saw Sorsby having to run. A lot of quarterbacks, they'd rather be comfortable with their feet set and making throws. And so we had over 20 hurries in that game, you know, and that means that he's always throwing on you know, off his one foot or falling backwards, and that usually works well for us. And so we didn't get as many sacks as we wanted, but we were disruptive enough to create a havoc and get out of some drives.
That leads us into our stats for the game presented by Smarty, Address Data Wizards. So here is a look at the numbers. You outgained Cincinnati by 5 total yards, but the big discrepancy jumps right off the page is the rushing yards differential. LJ Martin leading the charge there, 222 of those 265, but you hold a really good rushing attack at Cincinnati, who is averaging almost 200 yards a game, 195 on the season per game. To 87, how did you do that?
Yeah, the guys up front, and then everybody playing assignment sound football. You know, everybody being disciplined and doing their 111th has been key, but it's also dominating your 111th up front when you need the big boys like JT and Keanu to get it done, get knocked back so that the backers can fill. And those guys did a great job. And we tackled well enough. I mean, we can always use improvement there, but the guys were committed to being physical and committed to getting knocked back and playing hard on the line of scrimmage. And I mean, the other key to that is that our offense possessed the ball for a long time. And I think A-Rod felt like we could, you know, I've said earlier before that yesterday in the press conference, that it's nice to have an offense coordinator that's not worried about stats or his own ego. He just wants to get the win. And he saw, hey, if we possess the ball and just minimize their possessions, then we can be in a really good spot. And that's what we did. For some people, it was boring, but I enjoyed every second of it.
I don't think it was boring to watch LJ Martin absolutely destroy the defense again and again and again.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that wasn't his mouthpiece that threw up when he got hit.
Yeah, I think we all had to check there for a moment with that lime green mouthpiece flying through the Cincinnati night. Well, we've talked a ton about LJ Martin, and deservedly so. He had a career night in Nippert Stadium. They call it Nippert at night. Well, because of LJ, he turned it to Nippert in flight with all those Bearcat fans leaving late in the game. It pushed his season rushing total well over 1,000 yards, over 1,100 yards, a performance that earned LJ a spot with Jerem Jordan inside tonight. Film room.
LJ, what a game, and congrats on 1,000 yards, by the way.
Thank you.
That's awesome, man.
Okay, let's break down some plays. The first one is in the first quarter, and you don't get contacted forever, and then you drive your guy 8 extra yards down the field. I love this play.
Yeah, it was a fun one. We got a great push by the O-line. Bruce comes to the second level, so does Sony, and then they create a wide open hole, and then we got Chase blocking downfield too. He kind of opens it up, and then yeah, right there, stiff arm a guy, and then, yeah, just take him for a ride, and then we get a good amount of yards right there. I thought I was going to get him with the stiff arm initially, but you'll see right here. I kind of had him, and then he just kind of grabs the collar of my shirt, so I couldn't get him off me.
And he's punching at the ball.
Yeah, so it just kind of worked out that way, and then, yeah, it was a good play by him.
Okay, last but not least is the game ceiling touchdown.
Yeah, it was cool to get in the end zone, score it, seal the game like that, but then, yeah, right here, we got great crush by Carson, just making sure the backside guy can't get me. Just kind of staying patient. They try to jumble up our reads. Kind of everyone was just in the box. Everyone going downhill, and then kind of find my way outside. And then you see Sony get up there to the second level, and then boom, off to the races and score.
And you run into, I think, some BYU fans. They got their phones out right there?
Yeah, it was some BYU fans, and they actually sent me the video. It was pretty cool. So, yeah, but yeah.
What do you love about what the O-line has done this year? Because the cohesion between you and that group has been fantastic.
Yeah, they just make it really easy. They're moving people pretty easily, and they just make the reads really clear, easy, and it's really fun to run behind me.
Okay, UCF Saturday, senior day, early game. How you feeling about a win and in to the Big 12 title game?
Yeah, I mean, you got to feel really good. You know, a year ago at this time, you know, we needed some help, but to be able to control our own destiny, it means a lot to us. And, you know, we got to go out there and take advantage of the moment.
Well, congratulations on everything and best of luck Saturday.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Coach, when you see LJ in his understated fashion talk about breaking free for that touchdown, he's just so ho-hum about it. But that was a glorious moment for BYU fans. But I know that maybe the coach in you is thinking, hey, just slide down before the end zone. Let's run out the clock. Let's end the game. Like, how'd you feel about that play that brought you some style points ultimately?
Well, I mean, the goal is just to win the game. So we're trying to run the clock out and get a first down or just burn time so we can kneel it down. And when he ran through, first I yelled, take a knee. And then I saw him running. It's like, hey, go ahead, score. You know, it's just like, I mean, he wasn't listening to me anyway. So, but I'm just, he deserves it, you know. And I mean, it's okay. You know, we had our defense go out there, and we got Trey a sack, so that was good. But I was really proud of just how LJ's been. I mean, if you guys remember when he was a true freshman, he there's no way he would do an interview like that. And so now he's a captain and he's a leader and he's speaking a lot more. And he's still a little shy, but I just love the noise that he makes when he plays.
He certainly does make a lot of noise. And he can always default to, oh, my bad, coach, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, that's all right. It's like if you're not gonna listen to me, at least score some points.
That'll do. Time for our first timeout. And this reminder that your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join me and Jerem Jordan weekdays at noon Eastern live on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, we remember those that lost their lives in the 1965 Eddie Airline crash with our Deep Blue special. And then our special group of seniors join the show on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Stay with us.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. Waystar and Smarty, address data wizards.
Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Tonight's Deep Blue feature, presented by Deseret Book, home to real life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Dive deeper today at DeseretBook.com. 60 years ago, a group of BYU football fans traveling to watch the football team make history never reached their destination. The plane crashed near Salt Lake City, ending their lives and forever changing their families. This is Deep Blue, the story of the 1965 Eddie Airline tragedy.
First of all, they were friends, and the magnet that drew them together were the sporting events at BYU.
They were people that could start something like that with their level in the community.
These prominent doctors and dentists that were avid BYU sports fans chartered a plane to go to the first bowl game that BYU was ever playing in.
They must have had an absolute wonderful time thinking that BYU was possibly going to win their first WAC championship.
It was really friends that were going to an event that they were so excited to share with each other. That's what it ended up being.
I got up that morning and was listening to the radio and heard about a crash of an Eddie Airlines plane. And I ran upstairs and asked my mother if Dad had gone on one of the Cougar Club flights that morning. And she said yes.
The flight crew had five people, and the passengers numbered eight.
They were on their way to Provo, and one of the people they were going to pick up was the university president, Ernest L. Wilkinson, but they never made it to Provo.
The weather was bad, ceiling was low, the plane hit the side of a hill and then glanced off and hit a larger, steeper hill.
They crashed maybe 6 feet from the top of these hills. I mean, it just is so devastating because it just could have been avoided maybe, but visually they just were in bad weather.
There were hopes among all the families and friends that maybe there would be somebody there that survived the crash, but it wasn't what happened. So people were killed basically instantly. These were people that were on their way to do something they enjoyed, something they loved. And the trip was just cut short, and it just happened, you know.
We had these high-profile guys. They're gone now. And they had to, in their own way, the women had to be high-profile women. And with their strengths, raise their families.
It was very devastating to hear that news and have to repeat it to my children. Greg was just 6 at that time. And he pulled on my skirt and he said, "Mama, Daddy isn't really dead, is he?" And oh my gosh, that just broke my heart. I picked him up and had to explain to him that yes, it was true, but he would still be watching over him from heaven and helping him to do the right things and to grow up to be a good person.
Think about it every time I come to go down to Provo. I mean, that's where I sit in my seats. I think about it. I helped him pick our seats. Made me love BYU a lot.
Made you love BYU?
Yeah.
I remember as a child, when the screen door would open and shut, I thought it was my dad coming home for months afterwards. And I finally had to realize that wasn't going to happen. If I felt that as a kid, think about what these wives felt.
I still long for Gordon, and still do, and I always will.
My mom decided that she had to step it up and take care of the situation. So she wrote that telegram to the team.
This event really was something that may have galvanized the team. They heard about it at halftime and they won the game.
All of us are saying, "Mom, you didn't have to do that. You could have just sat in the bedroom and cried. You could have just done nothing." But she did something about it and she went forward.
I just couldn't imagine what it would be like to raise a family with that kind of profound loss and have all the weight on your shoulders for the rest of the lives of all those children. That's an enormous weight.
So I lost my dad when I was 2 years old in a plane crash. Lived my life and went off to college and got married and had a husband that was an adventurer, probably a lot like my dad, and he loved flying planes. 2.5 years after Barry and I got married, he was working on his pilot's license at the time he passed away in a plane crash with his father. So here I was repeating this crazy story again in my life. And luckily I had a really brave, courageous mother that taught me how to be brave and courageous through really hard things.
Just having a child lose her husband and go through the same thing I had was heart-wrenching because I knew how she felt.
My mom just showed strength day and night. I just had the perfect example. Stuff's gonna happen, but deal with it. And my mom was like, "Why not deal with it positively?"
We're at the point of impact for my dad's crash that happened in 1965. I was supposed to be with him on the flight, and I've had dreams about these spots.
I don't know what you would call it. It was just a feeling I have here that There's people from the other side walking with us right now.
Obviously, I never met my grandfather, so this is a chance to understand him better, to honor him from being here. It was pretty neat to hear the stories from the children of those who had fathers or parents who perished on this crash. So for me, it's just a way to connect, to feel their appreciation and love for their relatives and my relative.
I'm feeling a great fellowship with the people that are here. They're just a lot of wonderful people, and these men and families and the wives too just left behind a great legacy. I think the wives of these people shouldn't be forgotten either.
When I think back on the people that were lost that day and on their families, I want people to remember that we are all a community and that these extraordinary people taught us things that we need to emulate.
They cared about something enough to charter a plane and go to a football game. How cool is that? So they died doing what they loved. I would love people to think about that.
There are people that were committed. There are people that were builders. There are people that were undeterred by opposition and wanted to move forward. Those principles, I think, are things that people should remember them by. They left an enormous legacy. You think of all the children, the widows and the families, it's an enormous legacy that is left. And that legacy still continues. The stories are still being written.
Another incredible Deep Blue. A few words come to mind, Coach. Sobering and inspiring with that perspective.
Yeah, just grateful for the families and sharing their story and just their love for BYU and football and the gospel. So it's amazing.
A heavenly perspective certainly is something. And at this time, it almost feels like that group of people, as much as they enjoyed that football team back in 1964-65, they certainly are probably feeling a lot of joy about what your team is doing right now and what BYU stands for and represents today.
Yeah, it's more than just football, you know. There's a great opportunity to represent and to get to know people and fellowship and love others. And it's amazing what these young men are able to do in this program, and I love being around them.
You have a special group of seniors this year that are helping build BYU football and take it to new and great heights. Tonight on the finale of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, as usual, we invite many seniors on the show to tell their stories. We're going to have some laughs and probably some nonsense, and we will reminisce about their time here at BYU. Ultimately, it's an opportunity for Cougar Nation to show their appreciation. So, without further ado, let's bring out our seven sensational seniors tonight. Have a seat, gentlemen. All right, first question. And we'll direct it to Tanner because he's got a microphone in his hands. Tanner, how does it feel to be... Oh, Chase has one too! Should probably have you both answer this. How does it feel to be so old, Tanner?
Dude, it doesn't feel great. I mean, like, I got to sit in the hot tub, put the hot pack on my knees, you know, to, like, warm up for practice. I'm like, dude, 5 years ago, I wasn't doing this, you know?
Old man Roberts in the back, how's life?
It's good. I can't even make it through, you know, a practice nowadays. So getting old, but got to be tough. Got to push through, so.
All right, Chase, I'm going to have you hand the microphone to Carson. Carson, you've had a unique senior season, yep. And you've had a few stops along the way, but now you're at BYU. So how does it feel to be at BYU in this season to close out your college football career?
It feels great. You know, I've had a great time here at BYU, and I wish I had more time and, you know, more experience here. But, you know, the brothers I've made along the way here, it's been great. We've had such a fun season so far, and just a lot of winning. Winning makes it even more fun. So hopefully we just continue to do that this weekend, but it's been great.
Tanner, let's have Will take the microphone from you. Will, same question for you as you come to your career end at BYU. What's made this season so special for you? And you've enjoyed a lot of success.
Yeah, this season's been cool. I think the biggest thing is just the united group of guys that we have. Like doing the camp out and fall camp and just all the things that you go through with this group of guys is really what makes it special. And I think we've got a pretty amazing group here.
Let's keep it rolling with Ethan Erickson over here. It's Thanksgiving week, Ethan. So what are you grateful for this time of year as you sit on the Satake show and get ready for UCF?
First, I'm grateful for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then I'm super thankful for my family and then the brothers that I have here and the brothers that I've made and the friends I'll have for life.
Same question for you, Talon. What are you feeling most grateful for this week?
Yeah, super grateful for my family, my wife, and I have all my family traveling down to support me. It's been cool to see the support I have, and shout out my family, second row right there. So, yeah.
Okay, let's send it over to Enoch. Let's keep it rolling with the Thanksgiving week. Enoch, what has you feeling super grateful to be a part of BYU?
I would have to say the same thing as Talon, my family. Being from Hawaii, it's so hard for them to make every game, but they'll be able to fly out for senior night and for Thanksgiving to spend the weekend with them it's going to be amazing. So looking forward to that.
Okay, we'll give back over to Tanner now. Tanner, you've had a lot of great moments this season and over your BYU career. So what are some of the moments that have you feeling the most fond as you recollect on an incredible BYU football career?
Man, that's a really hard question. There's a lot of them. You know, I think one that specifically comes to mind, just kind of in my journey, the start of my journey as a walk-on, I remember the first game I ever dressed for was the Utah game in 2021. And I made a play on scout special teams that week. And it showed up on film, and we were in the meeting room, and Coach Lamb was like, "Tanner Wall, are you dressing for the game?" And I was like, "I'm not." And he's like, "Well, you are now." So being able to, you know, dress for that game, and after the history of, you know, the streak and us winning and storming the field, that was pretty epic to have that be the first game, you know, my first game as a Cougar dressing in Lavelle, and we beat Utah. So that was really special, but shared so many special moments with these guys, both in the season and outside the season along the way, and grateful for all of them.
Coach, you see these moments that so many people don't for these seven and so many others that you coach. So what do you feel when you hear Tanner talk about a moment that most people don't know about until now and the hard work that they put in day to day?
No, I remember them when they all first showed up and so proud of them. And going into this last week, the growth and the progress that they've made in life. I mean, I got to see them transform from a young man to an adult, and I know their families are really proud of them, and I am too. I hope they can be proud of what they were able to do for BYU. I mean, this group of seniors did something that no other group can ever claim, which is kind of usher us into the Big 12 and get us some success and leave on a high note. So I'm really proud of them and all the things that they've been able to accomplish. But every one of them has gone through so many different moments of adversity in their lives and as a football player here. And it's really proud of all the things that they've been able to overcome and look at the growth that's happened from it all.
Chase, let's go back to you. You too, like so many of these guys, have had multiple big time moments in your BYU career. But what one or maybe two stand out in your mind tonight?
Yeah, I think as we've been talking, the biggest thing is, you know, as growing up with, not growing up, but when I first arrived with Tanner and Talon and some of these guys that were here our freshman year, I think there was a vision and a culture that we knew Kalani wanted from our football team. And I don't know if we were quite there yet when we arrived. And I think having leaders like Tanner and Talon and seeing how we can one day, hey, when we reach that spot as seniors, we want this thing to be flying. We want Kalani's love and learn culture to be the top thing that we're preaching, and we want to live that way. And I think we've been able to see the transformation through our career, focusing on that and wanting that culture to be what drives us to win games. And we've seen a lot of success, and I think it stems from Kalani and his desire to establish that into the players, having a player-led team, and us giving the confidence in us One of the best moments, honestly, was seeing Kalani's confidence in me and how much he loved me. This was just our past Utah game. It was the last play of the game to seal the game, and he called a fade to me, and I dropped it. And that's what happens in life, right? You get opportunities and you fail, but to see after Kalani's, yeah, he was disappointed in me, obviously, because he knew that I could make that play. And he trusted me, and he was disappointed maybe that I didn't believe in myself in that moment and didn't go up and make that play. So that was honestly a huge turning point in my life and in my career, knowing and it just shows Kalani's character and how he's been to every one of his players. He believes in us way more, I feel like, than we believe in ourselves. And that's why we're such a good team. And that's why if we can get that into ourselves, we'll be that much better and win games, even more games. So that was a great moment that most recently that I've cherished the most.
Outstanding. And what a tribute to you, Coach. How about some applause for that? Well said, Chase. We could do this all night, but my producers tell me we got to call another timeout. So we're going to go to break for now. Up next, we're going to go to the fun and games portion of tonight's show with our seniors. They don't know what's about to happen, but they're about to find out. I'm BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, presented by Intermountain Health. We are now entering the fun and games nonsense portion of tonight's show in a game that we are calling Sour Truth. Okay, here's how it works. We're going to ask each of you a question. If you do not want to answer, then you get to try some of our delicious, very sour, ultra sour Warheads candies. So if you want to avoid it, you can eat that and suffer through that way, or you can just answer the question. So naturally, you're going to be uncomfortable one way or the other. Welcome to the show, guys. Hope you've enjoyed your season. This is your reward. Okay. Question number one. All right. Who should we pick on? Talon, you're holding the microphone. Okay, here we go. Talon, who would you let be your sister's plus one on Thanksgiving among your teammates?
Good question. Chase Roberts.
Chase Roberts is the answer. Okay. To nobody's surprise, Chase.
You heard his message earlier. He's a man of God, and he's a great one.
There you go. Love that from Talon. You're right. Man of God, great perspective. Okay. Who would be among your teammates, and we'll go with Carson here. Carson's avoiding eye contact. Okay. Don't pick me. And if that microphone's not working, we'll have Tanner hand you the one back. I think it should.
It's on.
It's on now. Okay, here we go. Who would be the messiest roommate on the team?
Gosh, I don't know.
Do you want to eat some candy?
I just can't think of anyone. I think Ethan would be kind of messy.
It's just a bad lie. It's not a real answer. He doesn't have an answer. It's just because I'm next to him.
Okay. So Ethan.
Yeah, Ethan for sure.
All right. Let's.
You should see how his desk is in the tight end room. There's a lot of bags of chips on there. Empty bottles of water. So.
Chip crumbs. Okay. Yeah. Leftover stuff. Who of the seven has a strong answer? Does anyone have a strong opinion on who the messiest teammate would be? If you do, raise your hand. I need to know. Chase! I saw you motion.
It's not that he's messy, but Bear Bachmeier brings...
Or Tiger. Tiger,
they bring like Target bags instead of their, like on the plane to go like to an away game. They'll have all their gear and everything they need in like garbage bags. they'll carry it on the plane. So, I don't... Yeah, that's just... That's what came to mind.
It's a couple of garbage men leading the way,
if you
Coach.
Noticed that, Kalani.
As long as they keep playing like that, I'll be fine with it.
Okay. Will, let's go to you. Who on the team do you think has the worst style? You can default to candy if you'd like.
I don't know if there's very many guys that have great style on it. I think I have a lot to choose from. Sure. See, in the specialist group, we default everything to Sam Vanderhaar. So I'm going to go ahead and push this one to him, too.
Okay. Sam in his short shorts, Kalani?
Yeah,
I believe short it. Football pants?
Yeah, I believe it. He's Australian, too, so he's...
Okay. Next question. Who do you not trust to be around your girl, Enoch? He's thinking about the candy.
Who do I not trust to be around my wife? I would have to say any of the DBs. they're very smooth talking young men, and I'll just leave it at that. can't have them close to my wife.
Okay. Who on the team is not smarter than a fifth grader? Tanner? I ask the academic All-American this question, of course.
Not smarter than a fifth grader.
They're all smart. They have to get into BYU. So. It's true.
Touche. Strawberry. Enix asking if you want a strawberry one. You can take the candy, Tanner.
I could take the candy, but I'm going to go with... LaMason Waller. Sorry,
LaMason. Good luck coming back from that. Oh, great stuff. Okay, who talks the biggest game in practice but doesn't back it up in a game? Let's see. Who?
We're trying to win a game this weekend. What's going on here? What kind of questions are these? So this is not a Thanksgiving special.
Chase, you want to answer that?
No, I was going to say, who's going to be the one to eat the piece of candy?
Who wants to eat the candy? If you don't answer? Ethan, you want to eat the candy? Yeah. Okay, Ethan's going to eat the candy. We bypass. That's a good team right there, Coach.
That's
a good team.
Good job, young man.
Well done, Ethan. Veteran senior move right there. Which of your teammates would clearly not be a good contestant on Dancing with the Stars? Who would like to answer? I'll open it up to any one of you. Who could not dance well on Dancing with the Stars? Carson, you want to go?
Andrew Gentry.
not fleet of foot, Coach.
We'll work on him.
All right. This one's somewhat related to the not smarter than a fifth grader question, but which of your teammates would definitely not win a spelling test or a spelling competition? Will, you want to chime in on this?
Yeah, it's got to be one of the bigs.
All right, give him the microphone. It's going to be one of the bigs.
We'll do the contact to the head. Or running backs, maybe. We'll go Enoch.
How are your spelling skills, Enoch?
I think they're decent.
Okay, he says they're decent. Okay. I love this next question. Who stares at themselves in the mirror the most in the locker room?
Everyone's thinking the same person.
Chase says everyone's thinking the same person. Who's it gonna be? Ethan.
The rock star Joe Douglas.
Joe Douglas.
The GQ model himself.
He had this really bright yellow hair, and he just dyed it like a caramely color. So he's the type of person to dye his hair every few weeks and make sure he looks good. So he's definitely been in the mirror quite a few times.
Shout out to
Joe. In the
Jeff.
Past 10 minutes.
But he does look good, though.
He does look good. He got a nice caramely, like, what do you call it, ombre or like
hue. Ombre.
Is that
Chase.
Right? Okay.
Now I know what to get him for Christmas.
I appreciate your verbiage there in explaining the caramely ombre.
Of course.
Hairstylists everywhere are just loving this conversation.
There we go.
Okay, who gives the worst dating advice on the team? Tanner wants it.
Isaiah Glasker.
Why do you say that?
That's just all I'm...
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Sour Truth. Well done. answering the hard questions. You can all try a piece of candy just for fun. Why not? And you can consume it while we go to break. After the break, it's studio audience Q&A, the tough questions for Kalani and the seniors. On the way on BYU Football with the coach, Kalani Sitake.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics, Waystar, and Smarty, address data wizards.
We continue on what has already been a memorable season finale of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. And we're going to stay in our studio audience for the always anticipated Q&A for our coaches and players. It's presented by Ken Garf, where we hear from you, the fans. Okay, let's just go right into the audience and take some questions. Our great producer, Hema Hemuli, is also spotting. Okay, Hema, have you located question number one? We're making the we're taking the microphone up there into the crowd here for question number one. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what's your question?
Graham Warren from Kaysville, Utah. Chase talked about culture, and we all remember a couple years ago it was a rough season, but what was it? I'll ask this question towards Ethan, since you've been here from the for a few years. What was it about Kalani's vision that helped the team believe in something that hadn't existed yet, with having these great seasons that we've had these last couple of years?
I feel like not too much has changed. We just continue to buy into the program, buy into what Kalani was telling us, love and learn, energy and effort. And I think we just had more guys commit to our standard. And I think that's ultimately what's driven us to, from that 5-7 year first year in the Big 12 to being where we're at now, being as successful as we are now, is because the players that we have are, they trust it, they trust each other, and that's all I can think of.
Okay, great question. I've been told we have time for only one more question because we've got to do some things before we get out of here in about 7 minutes. So question number two comes from, what's your name and where are you from?
Milo Kelly from Wiverton. What is, for everyone, what is your favorite Thanksgiving food?
Ooh, rapid fire. Favorite Thanksgiving food for all seven of you.
I'll start.
Turkey.
Okay.
Ham.
Stuffing.
Ribs.
I have to go with yams.
Yeah. Sweet potato or yam casserole.
Okay, sweet potato casserole.
Sweet potato.
Let's go. Good question. And an appropriate one for this time of year. All right, we now have a trivia question tonight as we head to break. Starts with this. LJ Martin is 11th on the list of BYU in career rushing yards. He needs 53 to crack into the top 10 and fleet by which early 1970s BYU running back? The answer on the show right after this on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Another look at tonight's trivia question. LJ Martin, 11th on the list in career rush yards at BYU, needs 53 to crack into the top 10 and sneak by what early 70s BYU running back? The answer is Fleet Pete Van Valkenburg, who led the country in rushing in Lavelle Edwards' first season in 1972. That makes perfect sense. Lavelle implements the drop back passing attack, and he's got the leading rusher in the country.
It all comes full circle.
Well, we, a few hours ago, got the third edition of the college football playoff rankings, and you see BYU holding strong at number 11. Not one change between teams 1 through 11, but Miami does sneak into the top 12, the Hurricanes at 9-2. All right, digest that. We'll remind you what's ahead on the TV and radio this Saturday. It begins with BYU Sports Nation Game Day on BYU TV, 11 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. local time, 2-hour pregame show to get you set. Cougar pregame live on BYU Radio as well, and then the Cougs and Knights on ESPN2, 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff, postgame show immediately following on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Our thanks to all involved here tonight for this special senior show, our 7 outstanding seniors, for the coach and our production crew. I am Spencer Linton. Have a great week, and go Cougs!
Go Cougs!